This is WABF, and it's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomanosi of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, which features the Shell gas stations on 98 in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, Lori, good morning. Great day out here, gorgeous day, after a absolutely ridiculous, what's the word I want to use without getting into trouble?
A clean word.
A clean word. Okay. A dismal and absolutely dangerous, you know, attempt to weaponize the FBI by going after Trump at the Mar-a-Lago residence to claim, I assume, documents that they were in negotiations over. So here you have essentially the weaponizing of the FBI in order to gain documents that in other cases have been subpoenaed. And the fact of the matter is that the documents under question had been in negotiation with Trump since January. Negotiations broke down in June. No big surprise there. It happens. But here we are in a political season where the Democrats know they're in trouble, and they've got Trump out there doing all these rallies, and Trump candidates winning. Trump's favorable rating in the Republican Party is high. So what do? They pull a political trick which is close to the Banana Republic approach to politics, going after the former president. And again, I mean, you see all of this stuff on TV, and all the talking heads are there talking about it, and you know, you can come to your own opinion about it, but it certainly seems that the unprecedented nature of what happened, and again, unprecedented, you know, hadn't happened before, and the reasons given at this point, which we're sort of in a semi-fog approach to this, Lori, because, you know, we haven't seen the affidavit. We've seen the warrant. But the affidavit is the thing that's going to tell you exactly why they were going, what they were looking for. So when we find that out, and the working assumption is that it will be found out.
It will be released.
The situation is just too fraught with tension and frustration and anger that they can't suppress that. At least that's the working assumption, okay? So we're going to see how all of this plays out, and that's one of the things I want to talk about this morning, along with a couple of other things.
I mean, weaponizing of IRS agents?
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, you know, we can talk about that too, maybe next week, okay?
Okay.
It could be hard to get it all out. But, I mean, here's the other thing, you know? While we're falling apart into Banana Republic mode here, it's the year anniversary, and I don't even want to say it's an anniversary, but of the Afghan disaster, okay?
That's been a year already.
Yeah, it's been a whole year. So I want to just talk a little bit about that, okay? Then I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on in the state, okay? One of which is the Republican Party over the weekend, they had their summer meeting, and they adopted a resolution to move towards a closed primary. It means that the legislature has to agree to that. Okay, so we'll see how all this plays out.
Oh, you'll explain that?
Yes,
in
I will
a bit.
Explain
okay.
it. Okay, but importantly, from a political perspective, conservative groups are now moving towards a write-in for several different candidates, one of whom is Mo Brooks, another is, I just drew a blank, it's Monday, Tim James for governor, Robin Leidecker for public service, and Brent Woodhull. God, it is Monday morning,
yes,
Brent Woodhull for public service. Those four candidates, we believe, should be allowed to serve. Okay, and I'll get into why it's important and blah, blah, blah. But there's no way that conservatives can go into that voting booth and vote for Katie Britt. How can you? Last Thursday at the Eastern Shore Republican Women's Group, we had an individual stand up and say, "We've got to come together." You know, I was Mo Brooks's campaign manager in Mobile, but I'm voting for Katie Britt. She's ours. I mean, can you imagine anyone saying that?
Yes, because
they're rhinos.
If you only watch TV, if you only know about candidates
right.
through their TV commercials, a lot of people would say, well, hey, what a nice lady. She stands for everything I do.
Right.
I'll vote for her.
Nice little cupcake. There you are. No, I get that. But this person is not just anyone just watching news. Supposedly a Mo Brooks campaign coordinator in Mobile. She did nothing in Mobile. I'm telling you that not because I'm mad at her for what she said. I'm telling you that she did nothing because we were constantly talking to our people in Mobile, asking them, are you getting support? Do you need signs? They never got it until someone had to call someone else to make it happen. Yeah, I mean, you see, this is the BS factor with all this, and we're not going to put up with it. How is it that Ivy, who completely screwed over this region here with her $6 toll, walks into she doesn't have a runoff?
That was now, very surprising.
It was a shock. Okay, so now, is that a factor of voter apathy? People down here don't care? Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe that is the case. Is it a problem with election integrity? You know, were the machines fixed? We can certainly argue about that and talk about it and see if we could ever get an audit. But the point is, why do we have to put up with that when there is an alternative? And that's what I want to talk about when we get to it, okay?
By the way, I want to remind our listeners, if you're not able to stay tuned for the entire program, you will be able to listen to it later on our website, WABF1480.com. Click on interviews and talk shows.
All right, so let's go back to the raid. Okay.
Okay.
What's the context of the raid? Okay. Sort of like I would have said, you know, negotiations break down, so they're going to go for it. Okay. And here's the political connection that I think is important. Okay. And it goes back to the very real hatred that not only the Democrats, but the Republican establishment has for Donald Trump. They don't want him to be able to run again. And so what they have done is concocted an issue. Now think about this. Gee, when have they ever done that before? Well, let's see. How about Russia collusion, the Russia hoax, all of that? How about two impeachments based on absolutely absurd charges? Okay, so it's not beyond the realm of possibility that these folks will just reach into that little bag of tricks and pull out yet another little trickster approach to dealing with Trump. And so what's it all about? Well, it's simple. Let's just try to frame him on something, get him indicted so that he can't run again. And so they're doing it with the DOJ, but look what they're doing in New York City. You know, that the Attorney General of New York has been absolutely vicious in her attempt to get hold of his tax records to prove that he inflated the values of his property in order to, what, avoid taxes or whatever. Now, she ran on that. I mean, that's exactly what she ran on to get elected. So here again, you have another one of these. I don't know if she took Soros money, but guess what? She doesn't need Soros money to be part of a prosecutorial approach that doesn't worry about the law, but worries about the politics of who you want to get. And that's exactly what she's doing, and it fits right into the mold of the Soros prosecutors who pick and choose who they want to let go and who they want to prosecute. So there we are. I mean, so think about the old idea of the blind justice sitting out there. That ain't happened, folks. And that is the real danger with all this. Okay? The context is critical to understand. Okay? So let's talk about the context as I've explained it in terms of a political desire to just damage Trump so badly that he can't do anything, you know, as far as running in 24. Okay? And here again, if that's the political goal, then they are not going to stop at anything. I mean, they may be getting pushback and people on TV, you know, saying, oh, we can't have this and that. You think it's stopping them? The day after the raid, the House Freedom Caucus chair, Congressman Perry from Pennsylvania, I think, he was going on a vacation with his family. They came up to him at the airport. They wanted his cell phone. Didn't show him a warrant, just took it. A few weeks before, the same thing happened in terms of cell phones being taken. I mentioned this on the radio program. Trump's lawyer, Eastman, they came up to him, wanted his cell phone. He said, show me the warrant. Nope, just took it. Hey, folks, if they're willing to do that to those kinds of people, folks with, you know, some standing, okay? And I'm not saying we don't have standing, okay? You know, it's a relative term, okay? But political standing in the political world, we don't have that. But they're willing to do that, take these folks' cell phones, just because they can. So, you know, we had contemplated having a protest at the FBI downtown in Mobile. And then we kind of backed off of it. In part because I just don't want to get on the radar screen.
A target on your back.
Yeah, really. And, you know, Pete Ream and I talked about it. Pete's running for state senate. He doesn't need to be, you know, videotaped out there, you know, and have them say all sorts of crazy things like, oh, yeah, Pete Ream, he's just another right-wing nut. Look at this terrorist activity down there at FBI. So we said, no, forget about it. Now you're talking about, I saw on this morning, that the social media, now you can take this, you know, one way or another. Social media, right-wing social media is talking about bombing the FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C. Now, is that a plant? You know? Is this another one of these FBI attempts to manipulate things by planting things out there in social media? Or similar to what they did with that whole hoax with Michigan governors, Whitmire, being what? Kidnapped. Two of the four people have already been exonerated because of the FBI agent who was in there planning it and making it happen. Two more people are still waiting. What about January 6th? How many people have talked about these FBI agents who were actually motivating people to commit crimes? Okay, so the context, again, is important. And for those of us who have been watching what the FBI has done in the recent past, the context becomes extremely important in terms of why we don't trust the I won't say it. Lori's about to have a heart attack. I was close, okay?
I've got my finger on the button.
Oh, she's got the finger on the button, so you know we're in trouble. All right, so here you are. We know what these folks have done. Comey. I mean, just pick the worst Comey thing that you can. Was it where he leaked classified documents to his professor friend at Columbia University that triggered, you know, the whole hoax Mueller investigation? That's a pretty good one. How about the one where he said, you know, well, Hillary Clinton is guilty of destroying, you know, classified material. But since she's a candidate for a president, we're not going to prosecute her.
What's the difference between those two cases, other than the fact that she's Hillary and Trump is Trump?
Well, of course. That's
it. The
second point here.
Okay.
It's double standards. But there's nothing new about double standards either. Here again, think about context. Think about the FBI. Think about not only Comey's role, but what about McCabe? I mean, McCabe lies to federal investigations. Congress, McCabe, signs off on a false, a fraudulent FISA warrant to the FISA court. These people knew what they were doing. Page and Strzok. Strzok says he's got his insurance policy. You've got to be kidding me. So now all of a sudden, Garland goes on TV, whenever the hell he went on, Wednesday or whatever, and just, you know, oozes concern about the FBI. You know, they're doing their jobs. They're fine. And look, I've known FBI agents. They are good people down in the ranks. But if you think the upper level is okay, you're smoking your lunch, okay? That's exactly what this is. This BS factor that we have to deal with about how wonderful the FBI is and how good they are and all like that, that may be true at certain levels, but it sure as hell is not true in the recent past at what the hell they have been doing. And we're supposed to swallow this crap? Okay, Laura, get ready to press the button. I'm telling you, I mean, all I can say is this is a WTF moment that we better get on top of. These people have got to be stopped. And if we don't put pressure on them through our elected representatives who are in Congress and who keep saying the right things, oh, yes, if we win in November, we're going to have oversight investigations. Well, whoopie-doo.
That's better.
Yes, thank you. Whoopie-doo. Y'all are getting that aren't you? Yeah, All right. Oh, God, I'll tell you something. I don't know how much longer I can do this show. I mean, it could be bad. I mean, what happens if they break the door in and come and yank me out of here, Lori? You're gonna fight for me, girl?
Absolutely.
All right.
Freedom of speech.
Okay, so there's the context, folks. Context. We're supposed to swallow all this crap and say, oh, it's okay. Truck on with it. Get on with it. Do what you have to do. You guys are good. No, absolutely not. You know, it's beyond that. Okay, it stinks to high heaven. But again, it's not just the DOG. It's the Republican establishment that is part and parcel of this in their own different way. Okay, they may not be the legal arm like the FBI is, but boy, I tell you what, they sure as hell put the knives in Trump's back when it came time, you know, to stand up and do something. And I've been down this road with you all before. I'm not going to repeat all of that. I'm just going to say, if you don't think that the Republican establishment hates Trump as much as the swamp does, you're kidding yourself. That's why it's so disgusting to hear these Republican people, like I mentioned at the beginning of this, who are talking about how nice Katie Britt is and she's a Republican. We've got to get back behind her. Bull crap. Excrement, as Mo Brooks would say. All right, so we've gone from context now to what exactly were they doing at the, with the raid? And of course, now they don't want us to say raid, okay? Raid's a bad word. Okay, so again, my understanding of the context of why they went there was to recover certain types of documents. Leaks have come out that he may have had nuclear weapons and that's a lot of hoorah, okay? No sense speculating it until we see what the affirmation is. You know, that once we find that out, then we can talk more about that in detail. But here's another contextual issue. You have a negotiation that's gone on from January through June, negotiations over the documents. Here again, more context. Presidents, until Nixon in 74, were able to take whatever they wanted from the White House. That was it. No questions asked. From Jefferson and Adams, whenever. It only started to become a problem because Nixon wanted to keep his tapes, and they wanted them. So Congress passed a law, I think, in 74, that basically said Nixon could not take all this stuff. It was responsible. It was public property. He had to give it up. In 1978, they passed a broader law, which now we understand is, you know, all presidents are required to do X, Y, Z. Okay, so from a legal perspective, you know, they're well within their rights, okay? Having said that, again, context, we get into a situation where Obama had all sorts of, you know, presidential materials that he never gave up, okay? And contests about what they should give up or should be able to keep, it's natural. So Trump, being Trump, was in a negotiation with these folks from the National Archives from January until just recently, June. So now you're going to tell us that all of a sudden, you know, these negotiations aren't sufficient to recover whatever it was the archives wanted. I mean, really? Okay, here's more context. What's happened since June? God, the country is going to, you know where. Not to hell. Going to merde. If you speak French, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, it's a merde case. That's what's happening here. Okay? And the Democrats are responsible for it. Okay? Inflation, crime, high gas prices, high food prices. You name it. They have their own WTF moment because guess what? They are responsible for all this crap. And we've talked about that ad nauseum. I'm not going to belabor it. But the context is important, okay? Trump is having negotiations. The Democrats are falling on their swords because everything is turning to merde, okay? So What's the best way to take care of this? Why not just go ahead and put the Republicans on defense? Let's knock Trump out of it. All since June, what the hell has he been doing? Rally after rally, huge rallies, gaining support for his announcement, maybe, that he's running again. They are scared to death of that. They're scared to death of losing power in November. So, knock out Trump. Let's raid it. Let's do what we have to do legally. Blah, blah, blah. You get the picture? The context is important. So, here now we have this situation where, you know, it's over as far as all that goes. The raid's done. The blowback is there. And actually, politically, it looks like They've suffered a major defeat because it's only made him more popular and everyone's more mad and ready to support him. I mean, you know, it's really interesting. You know, a couple of weeks ago we were talking about DeSantis as an alternative. You know, that's probably going to get blown away now, mainly because everyone is so mad about what they did to Trump, okay? All right, so there we have that. I suppose there's more that we can say about this. But for right now, let's just kind of sit there with it, mull it over, wait until we have a little bit more information. But I'll tell you something. Again, if you look at it within the context that I frame this, I don't care what they come out with in terms of, you know, the affirmation of what they were actually looking for. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. You know my okay? That's it. It doesn't matter. So we'll just kind of keep watch and follow up on it. But I think that, you know, at this point, we best be really careful about how far these people are willing to go. And if you think that these 80,000 plus new IRS agents that have to be willing to carry and use deadly force, what the hell does that mean? Okay? What does that really mean? You think that they're going to go after, you know, the Amazon guys and all the rest of that? No. Okay. And all those folks at the upper echelons, that they can afford the lawyers to take care of this. You and I can't. And I've already been through one tax hoorah with these folks. And I know the problems associated with it. You know, it didn't cost me any money, thank God. But I'll tell you this. It's no fun getting sideways with the IRS. Okay? If you went on it, that's great, and we did. But I'll tell you, it was a year and a half of a real struggle. I don't feel like going through that crap, especially when I'm on the radio talking trash about the FBI and the DOJ. You know, you think they're going to me? You damn right they will. Okay? They will. Oh, God. You know, where's Bush? Bring it on. Okay? Bring it on. Okay.
Should we take a break?
No, Lori.
Okay.
I'll calm down. All right.
Okay.
So before I'm running out of time as usual. All right. Quickly, Afghanistan. All right. So it's the year after. What does the world look like a year afterwards, okay? And don't say, oh, he just killed Zawahiri. Big deal, okay? Big deal, all right? They were able to do what they claimed they could do by, you know, overland, you know, out-of-country, you know, attacks. Okay, fine, good. That's not the issue. The issue remains what it was back in August of 2021. What are we doing? Just pulling the plug on this, turning it over to the Taliban, not only giving the country back to them, but leaving billions of dollars of equipment and leaving strategic places to the bad guys, such as the Chinese, who want a whole lot out of Afghanistan. So here you have another example of Biden taking the wrong path on a major foreign policy issue. And what does it lead? The perception of weakness, the perception that he can't do the right thing, you know? And again, he has a history of not doing the right thing. I've mentioned this before, you know, Secretary of State Gates pointed out he's never been right on any one foreign policy issue. Okay, fine, that's nice to know, but guess what? Complicating this little equation here is all the Chinese money that he's getting at through Hunter Biden and their association with the Chinese Communist Party. Now, you tell me that all of this is good for this, for our country, especially after listening to what Commander Cox said 3 weeks ago and 2 weeks ago, when we had back-to-back discussions about the Chinese strategy, what they're doing, how they're doing it. And we have a president who now is talking about taking away the sanctions on China that Trump put on them, who took away, you know, the FBI's initiative about going after Chinese penetration and spies, who has a blind eye to the various aspects of the cultural penetration, of the buying of property next to American air bases with Huawei, you know, communications gear that could possibly shut down our nuclear communications system. Nice, isn't it? Really, nice. You got to hand it to Biden, you know. He's supposed to be a moderate. We're going to unify the country. He's not a moderate. He didn't unify the country, doesn't want to unify the country, only wants to do what the Chinese want him to do and what the green, you know, crazies in the radical environmental movement want, AOC and all the rest of them. Nice. Real nice. I love it. All right, let's talk quickly about state stuff. Republican Party has finally come to its senses and decided to send a resolution to the state legislature to move along the lines of closed primaries. We'll see how this goes, because that state legislature doesn't exactly have a lot of people who are on our side about this. Yes, Lori?
Explain what closed primary is.
Okay, closed primary means if you want to vote in the Republican Party, you have to join the Republican Party, okay? So the rhinos in the Republican Party, they all say, oh, no, we can't have that. The independents, they'll be frozen out. Well, too bad. That's an independent decision. Either vote for Democrats, vote for somebody else, or get an independent candidate on the ballot, if that's what you're really interested in doing. Okay. So a closed primary, and this is the real issue, Lori. The closed primary would have prevented a lot of these Democrats from voting for Ivy, Britt. Get it? Okay. So if we can take care of that kind of business and the manipulation that goes with it, and here again, you just look at all these Democratic leaders who came out and said, wonderful things about Katie Britt, how important she was to getting Doug Jones elected, she and Shelby. Okay, so the Democrats, because they had no one running in their you know, on their slate, they pushed their people to vote Republican for Britt against Mo Brooks, for Ivy. Because what does Ivy do? I mean, you know, here again we get into this thing, and I don't have a lot of time to get into it, but Ivy is a Democrat for all practical purposes. So, again, our point here is that if you're going to have closed primaries, then maybe you'll get a more conservative outcome in terms of some of these elections. The crossover vote should be eliminated. That's the big hope. We've been talking about this for 10 years.
And in theory, that's what's supposed to happen. If you vote Republican in the primary, then you vote Republican in the general. If you vote Democrat in the primary, you're supposed to vote Democrat in the general.
Well, I mean, yes, but the general election is open to anybody. I mean, you know, you choose whoever you want. But, you know, in the primaries, that you right now you're asked, do you want a Democrat, you know, ballot, or do you want a Republican ballot? So you make your choice. Okay, and this is the problem. They dilute the conservative voices the way the system is right now.
Because a Democrat could go vote for a Republican and that would sway the results. Exactly what you're talking about.
And that's exactly what you got. Okay, so we have that situation, and I think it's important to see how the legislature handles this. Okay, I'll talk more about that down the road, because there are certain aspects of it that we need to address. But we'll see how it works out. But I wanted to get that out there. Now, the other thing I do want to talk about quickly is the fact that conservative groups throughout the state are now moving in the direction of a write-in campaign for the candidates I've mentioned to you already. Now, here are a couple of, you know, caveats here. First of all, the candidates cannot get involved with this at all. Because if they do, they will be violating GOP party rules. So they're out of this as far as that goes. But that doesn't mean you as an individual, and once again, I mean, I've said this publicly in meetings and all like that, and I'll say it on the air. I would not vote for Katie Britt no matter what, okay? I may not vote. I'll just leave that one blank. Or I can write somebody's name in there. And guess whose name I'm going to write in? Mo Brooks. You got it? Okay, that's what we're going to do. And when it comes to Ivy, I'm not going to vote for Ivy. I'm going to write in Tim James. Okay, and when it comes to the Public Service Commission, which is absolutely controlled by Alabama Power, I'm going to vote for two people who will take Alabama Power out of the equation and reform the damn institution. That's Robin Leidecker and Brent Woodall. We're going to put these people in, and we're going to do everything we can to make it happen. So you say, oh, well, that's a fool's errand. Well, maybe it is, but Lisa Murkowski up in Alaska, she won by going, she lost her primary vote, and she ended up winning because they had a write-in to get her in. Now, she is a slime in my view. You talk about the epitome of the rhino. Okay, there she is. But the write-in is possible. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to launch this thing this coming weekend at the Alabama Conservative Coalition meeting up in Clanton. And then Common Sense Campaign meeting on the 22nd. We'll kick it off and we will kick some, you know what. All right, Lori. Thank you again for indulging me. Gosh, we're just going to have to make this thing longer.
An hour.
Maybe we're going to
have to. I'm not sure if your heart can take it, though.
Well, that's true. And I am getting older, so I have to be careful. Take my pill here. All right, folks. Look, I hope that we have a better week this week after last week's hoorah. But we'll be back next week to talk about all of the news that needs to be discussed. I hope you all have a great week. Hope our country survives another week of these idiots who are in charge. Y'all take care. Bye.
Thank you, Dr. Lou. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomenosi. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations on 98 in Daphne and in Malbus on 181 with a state-of-the-art car wash. The opinions and views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or management. If you missed part of the program or want to tell a friend, you can listen to it later at WABF1480.com.